At the end of 8 days, he was called Jesus, the name he was given before he was conceived in the womb. So why have we made such an effort to get here in the fog and in the rain, after many of us have stayed up kind of late at night for the new year, at least by the force of tradition? Well, let's just begin by saying, what's in a number anyway? So we have a new number for a new year. I hope we have more meaning to our days than that. So by being here on the most basic level, we redeem the time. We claim the calendar for the gospel. We don't just mark this day as a turn in the secular calendar, but we mark this day according to the story of redemption, which forms our days. And so by being in a secular society, we can't help but put significance, though, to the beginning of a year, a new start. And what better way to do that but by beginning with the Mass, by giving ourselves anew to the Lord, as we do at every Mass, because at every Mass, he gives himself anew to us. And so, yes, for this beginning of the year, we begin with the gospel. But of course, how we do this, we understand most basically, because this is the eighth day. And in the eighth day, the octave, which has significance to us as in our Christian liturgy throughout history, corresponding to the eighth day, the eighth day of eternity, and a full week, so to speak, celebrating the ongoing day of Christmas. On this eighth day, we acknowledge that this is the day in which our Lord Jesus Christ was circumcised. And being circumcised, he was given his name on that day. And officially given, the name that was announced to him became official, just as we give a name at our baptism. The name given in the hospital becomes official, a Christian name at baptism. The name Jesus became official on this day as well. So this is a day where we acknowledge Jesus' name and the fulfillment of the law. So this is a fulfillment day. Yes, when this points to what it means that this is also, of course, the official title of today, feast in our revised calendar, is Mary, Mother of God, the one who herself is the fulfillment of the law, the church, the called out one, the true Israel. And she fulfills this by keeping the law this day. But by so doing, as we widen the lens, we have something new. We have the fulfillment of our redemption, Jesus, which means, oh, save. He is the Savior. So this is not just the fulfillment of the law, but the beginning of the culmination of all things. This is newness. And so we have a new Eve and a new name for our salvation in this new year. And so to help all these things sink in for us, it's helpful that we enter into prayer today, because as the fathers often tell us, prayer teaches us all things. We cannot fully understand the gospel in our intellect, but as we pray, we enter into understanding. The law of prayer is the law of faith. And so by praying, we truly become formed in our faith. So to this end, let's consider a few prayers honoring the Mother of God, which pulls all these threads of meanings together for this feast day into one chord. So let's consider three important prayers that acknowledge the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her Annunciation beginning, then in her birth, and then in the fullness of redemption. And then in reciting these prayers, let us become more fully formed in our understanding, but also beyond our understanding. A prayer that is often said before the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, often said when we first come into a church or before an icon, first orients ourselves into who the Mother of God is at the Annunciation and why we honor her today. Before your most Mother of God, since you became a fountain of mercy, count us worthy of your compassion. Look upon a people that has sinned. Show forth your power as you always do. Because we have put our trust in you, we hail you as once did Gabriel, the captain of the angels. So if you ever hear the voices of those who say, why honor the Mother of God so much when it's Jesus, the one who saved, that is so significant? Why give her so much prominence? Let us remember that the captain of the angels hailed her. If Gabriel hailed her, how can we not do the same? Because we have put our trust in you, having received this truth, what do? We continue to hail you as once did Gabriel, the captain of the angels. And so we honor the one who gave birth to the Word in virginity. And so there's a famous prayer that is recited often in the Christian East and is worth also taking to heart and being formed by it as well. And it's a very simple prayer that takes up where that first prayer left off. If Gabriel honored her as captain of the angels, shouldn't we exalt her constantly as well as the one who gave us our Savior? O you higher in honor than the cherubim, and more glorious beyond compare than the seraphim, you gave birth to God, the Word in virginity. You are truly Mother of God. You are truly Theotokos. You do we exalt. If the angel Gabriel hailed her, then she is truly higher in honor than the cherubim, more glorious beyond compare than the seraphim. And because she gave us the Word of God in virginity. Now, this is something that in prayer, as it sinks in, we can take for granted. But let's also acknowledge that in church history, it took time for this to be understood intellectually, what might have been appreciated previously devotionally. Because in time, in the early centuries of the church, some disputes arose as we tried to articulate what this means, that the Mother of God gave birth to God the Word in virginity. And did she give birth to a man who became God? Or did she truly give birth to God? So famously, Nestorius said that, well, I believe that she gave birth to just a child, and then the divinity was infused after. But that became later on understood to be a heresy. We don't have the fullness of redemption if we explain our faith that way. Because if that's true, if we were to unfold that understanding, that would mean that God did not take on all of the human experience. And so it is right now. We have some Christians who have a hard time proclaiming Mary the Mother of God because they have not been formed by these prayers. And as a result, their intellect is not fully formed as well. But what happens is that if we don't believe that God took on all of humanity, then our creation is not infused with divinity. And our liturgy itself becomes anemic. And as a result, then, as we pray, then we must enter into and receive God after our prayer. And this is where we get churches that are not adorned, that are whitewashed, that are simplified, because God could not enter into something so lowly as our human structures. We must break beyond that into the spiritual realm in order to acknowledge God. This is the outgrowth of Nestorianism, that heresy, which has not left Christianity, which has been reintroduced in some ways through Protestantism. But if we fully understand that Mary is Mother of God, then Jesus took on all of creation in such a way that, yes, even our earthly dwellings can take on divinity, because he took on, the very God took on the earthly dwelling of a womb. So this very understanding transforms creation and transforms our prayer, so that our prayer can truly transform us and form us in our understanding of redemption. For truly, prayer teaches us all things. But if this is true, then let us enter into fully the prayer of the church, the full prayer of the church, so that we can be fully taught and not only understand our redemption more fully, but truly live it. To this end, I'd like to offer one more prayer that encompasses all of redemption in light of the Mother of God, who gave us Jesus, the name which means he saves. What shall we call you, O woman full of grace? A heaven, for you have given birth to the Son of Justice? A paradise, because you have brought forth the flower of immortality? A virgin, because you have remained undefiled? A mother, a pure mother, holding in her holy arms a son who is God of all. Intercede with him for the salvation of our souls. If you pray a prayer like that, then your soul will be formed. If you pray a prayer like this regularly, then it will enter into your soul what it means that, of course, Mary had to be the new Eve, to replace that fallen woman. As a result, our Lord, through her, undoes the fall. By entering into her as God, she becomes a new heaven encompassing God and brings that forth for us. And by bringing us immortality, we have what was lost in the garden. Mary, who is a paradise, bringing forth the flower of immortality. And being a virgin, totally dedicated and trusting in God, despite all the pressure against the same, trusting that she would receive him without a husband, an earthly husband, so to speak. She became a mother of God, a pure mother holding in her holy arms a son who is the God of all. So truly we can trust in her to intercede with him for the salvation of our souls, so that we can truly receive Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. The law is fulfilled, and we have the fullness of salvation. So let us enter into now, in this beginning of the year, making a new start, giving ourselves fully in the Mass to the one who gave himself fully to us. And let us bring forth that newness into a fallen world.